This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com. This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Stop marketing to the general public. Talk to enterprise AI builders. Your platform solves the hardest challenge in tech, getting secure, compliant AI into production at scale. But are you reaching the right 1%? AI Unraveled is the single destination for senior enterprise leaders, CTOs, vice presidents of engineering, and MLOs heads who need production-ready solutions like yours. They tune in for deep, uncompromised technical insight. We have reserved a limited number of mid-roll ad spots for companies focused on high-stakes, governed AI infrastructure. This is not spray-and-pray advertising. It is a direct line to your most valuable buyers. Don't wait for your competition to claim the remaining airtime. Secure your high-impact package immediately. Secure your mid-roll spot by emailing us at info@djamgatech.com. Back to today's show.
Okay, welcome to the deep dive.
Good to be here.
So if you're someone who follows the automation startup scene, you probably felt it, right?
Oh, yeah. That tremor.
That big shakeup when OpenAI announced their, you know, Dev Day stuff for 2025.
Definitely. It wasn't just like minor updates or features. It felt bigger.
No, it felt like a fundamental shift, like a whole redesign of the AI stack.
Right. And the headlines that followed. Wow.
Exactly. Things like OpenAI just quietly killed half of the automation startups. Really dramatic stuff. Apocalypse language.
That's the one. That kind of immediate gut reaction tells you something significant happened. This automation apocalypse narrative wasn't just hyperbole for clicks.
Right. And that really sets up what we want to dig into today.
Yeah, the core question.
Is this just noise? Is it overblown? Or did OpenAI make a really calculated strategic play here?
A move to basically vertically integrate and maybe commoditize that whole workflow automation layer that companies have built businesses on.
Exactly. So we're going to try and deconstruct this new OpenAI arsenal piece by piece.
And really look at the pressure, the existential pressure it puts on players like Zapier and Atay, companies built on connectivity.
It feels like a textbook case of platform encroachment, doesn't it?
It really does.
Oh.
And like you said, they didn't just release tools in isolation.
No, it feels cohesive.
It's a vertically integrated machine. Seems designed to own the whole process of AI agent development, from idea to, you know, actually running it.
Okay, let's unpack the weapons then, one by one. First up, what looks like the most direct challenge? Agent Kit and Agent Builder.
Right, the factory, so to speak.
This seems to be their tool for making these sophisticated multi-step agent workflows, visual drag and drop. We've seen builders before, so what's different here? What makes this one feel more threatening?
Well, I think it's the capability. It goes way beyond those rigid, predefined triggers. You know, the if this, then that model.
Okay.
We're talking about agents that seem genuinely intelligent. They understand a high-level goal.
A goal, not just a trigger.
Exactly. And then they autonomously figure out how to talk to other apps.
Yeah.
Opening Notion, sending Slacks, checking email, booking things. All driven by the goal.
So they're not just dumb pipes anymore.
Not at all. They're like goal-seeking systems. Autonomous.
And the economic side of this is, well, it's kind of terrifying. That Ramp example they showed.
Oh, yeah, the partner demo. Building a complex buyer agent.
In a few hours, they said. Instead of the 2 quarters, 6 months, it would have taken before.
That reduction is staggering. An afternoon versus half a year, it completely resets the value proposition.
Yeah, it makes you wonder what happens to all that integration work.
Well, Ramp basically showed that AgentKit could potentially commoditize hundreds of thousands of dollars in developer time, almost overnight.
That's more than just saving time. It's
yeah,
potentially existential for certain kinds of dev work. Yeah. The time to value is almost instant.
Right. So Agent Builder is the factory. Makes sense.
But a factory needs distribution, right?
Yeah.
How do these agents get out there? That seems to be where the apps, SDK, and ChatKit come in.
Exactly.
Yeah.
This is the piece that changes the user experience fundamentally.
How so?
It's a strategic shift. Developers can now build interactive apps inside ChatGPT itself.
Inside the chat window, like mini apps.
Yeah. Think Spotify controls or Canva tools or Zillow listings living right there in the conversation. You ask, you click, you do stuff, all within that chat flow.
I saw OpenAI execs describe it as feeling a little bit more like an operating system.
The ChatGPT OS idea.
Yeah. Okay, but hearing operating system immediately makes me think about vendor lock-in. If I build my core business processes inside ChatGPT, how do I protect myself from their future price hikes? Or if they suddenly change direction, isn't that the unspoken risk under all this convenience?
That's a huge concern, and it's absolutely foundational, which leads us actually to the most critical part, the brain behind it all.
The engine making it smart.
The new O1 reasoning model. This is the secret sauce, the cognitive engine powering these agents.
Okay, O1. They mentioned significant investment in training this using reinforcement learning. What does that actually mean for how it performs?
So reinforcement learning, or RL, it's different from just feeding a model data.
Yeah.
RL means the model learns actively. It tries things, fails, gets rewarded for success, like training an athlete almost.
Okay, learning by doing.
Exactly. And this specific RL training lets the O1 model, as they put it, spend more time thinking before they respond.
Thinking how?
It generates this internal chain of thought, a longer, more complex reasoning process to tackle difficult problems.
Right. We need a concrete example of what this thinking actually achieves. What makes O1 so much better?
Well, the results they shared were pretty stunning. They tested it on problems from a qualifying exam for the International Mathematical Olympiad.
Okay. Notoriously hard math problem.
Extremely hard. The O1 model apparently solved 83% of them.
83%. Wow. How does that compare?
Well, their previous top model, GPT-4o, only managed 13% on the same test set.
13 to 83. That's not just an improvement. That's a different league entirely.
It's a massive qualitative leap. That level of reliable, complex reasoning is what turns AgentKit from just another workflow tool into something that can genuinely orchestrate intelligence.
So putting it all together, you have the superior reasoning of O1.
Oh, the brain.
Plugged into the user-friendly agent builder.
The factory.
And then distributed through the apps SDK inside ChatGPT.
The distribution network.
It's this tight vertical integration. They control every layer. It creates this powerful self-reinforcing cycle, doesn't it?
Exactly. The intelligence, the build tools, the user interface is a very complete platform strategy, not just a few new features.
Okay, so to really grasp the threat level here, we need to understand who is already there. The incumbents in the automation market before this dev day.
Right. The established players. Two main ones stand out with very different approaches. Zapier and N8N.
Let's start with Zapier. They feel like the household name, the king of no-code connectivity, you could say.
Definitely. Their target is the non-technical user, right? Small businesses, marketing teams, folks who need automation but don't write code.
Yeah. Their whole value prop is simplicity. The Zap. That easy trigger action model, connect this app to that app.
Simple, effective for many use cases, but their real defense, their moat, has always been that huge library of integrations.
The 8,000 plus apps, that number is staggering. If you've ever needed to connect two obscure SaaS tools, Zapier was probably the only way. That network effect is powerful.
It's the de facto standard for just basic SaaS connectivity. That scale was their defense.
Okay, then on the other side, you have N8N, more the champion of developer-centric automation.
Exactly. Different audience, technical teams, developers, larger companies, especially those in regulated spaces like finance or healthcare.
What's their value?
Flexibility, control. Mm-hmm. They offer much more complex logic, branching, custom code snippets using JavaScript or Python. It's built for power users.
And their moat is interesting. It's structural, isn't it? This idea of data sovereignty.
That's key. It's fair code, source available. This means organizations can self-host it.
Run it on their own servers.
Yes. Or even in what's called an air-gapped environment, totally disconnected from the public internet.
For people not familiar, what does air-gapped mean in practice?
It means the system is physically isolated, no connections to unsecured networks like the regular internet. Think military or high-security financial systems.
Gotcha. So that level of control over data, location, and security is crucial for certain industries.
Absolutely critical for privacy, compliance, regulations. Something a purely cloud-based platform like OpenAI's, by definition, struggles to offer in the same way.
Okay, so we have the new OpenAI stack, and we have the incumbents, Zapier and N8OM. Now let's get into the how. How exactly does AgentKit attack their value? The anatomy of the encroachment.
Right. I see three main vectors of attack here, ways AgentKit tries to dismantle what the incumbents offer. The first is upending the value chain. It's about intelligence versus just tasks.
Explain that. What's the difference?
Well, incumbents like Zapier are brilliant at task automation. You set up rigid, predefined sequences. If X happens in this app, then do Y in that app. It's deterministic, reliable.
Simple, predictable. But maybe a bit brittle.
Exactly. It lacks independent thought. Mm. OpenAI, with AgentKit and O1, enables intelligence orchestration.
Orchestration. Different word.
Yeah. The user defines a higher-level goal. Like, hey, analyze this urgent customer support ticket. Check our CRM for their recent history and draft a personalized, empathetic response.
Okay, so you give it the objective, not the step-by-step instructions.
Precisely. The O1 agent then dynamically reasons about the best sequence of actions and which tools or APIs it needs to use to achieve that goal. The actual act of connecting APIs, which is Zapier's core value,
becomes just an implementation detail.
It becomes a detail the AI handles itself, almost trivially. OpenAI moves way up the value chain, from plumbing to strategy.
Wow. Okay, that directly leads to the second threat, disintermediation risk, cutting out the middleman.
Yep. We talked about the ChatGPT OS idea. If users can accomplish complex tasks just by talking to ChatGPT.
Like Spotify, make a party playlist based on my recent likes.
Exactly. Or check my calendar, find the next free slot, and book a meeting with Bob. If you can do that directly inside the main interface you're already using.
Why would you need a separate platform like Zapier to bridge those services?
The need diminishes significantly. The OS bypasses the traditional integration layer. It erodes their customer relationship, their reason for existing for many common tasks.
Okay, that makes sense. And the third threat?
The integration moat under siege. This goes right at Zapier's core defense, that library of 8,000 plus apps.
How does AI threaten that? Surely you still need the connectors.
Maybe not in the same way. We have to challenge the premise. Does an advanced reasoning agent like O1 really need a specific bespoke connector handcrafted for every single app?
What's the alternative?
Well, think about it. If this model is smart enough to solve complex math problems.
Right, the 83% on the IMO exam.
Then maybe, just maybe, if you give it access to a generic connector, like one that can handle standard web APIs, and you provide the API documentation for a service.
It could just figure out how to talk to it on the fly.
Potentially. It could learn how to interact using powerful generic interfaces combined with its reasoning ability.
So the competition shifts. It's not about who has the most connectors anymore.
Exactly. It shifts from connector quantity, which Zapier spent years building, to agent capability.
Mm.
If the AI can effectively self-configure the connection, that massive library suddenly becomes much less of a defensive moat.
Okay, so this apocalypse talk isn't entirely baseless. These are real, serious strategic threats from OpenAI.
They absolutely are. But like you said earlier, calling it an apocalypse might be an oversimplification.
Right, because Zapier and TAN aren't dead yet. They have their own strengths, their own moats they can lean into. The key is how they evolve quickly.
Aggressive evolution is the only path. Let's take Zapier first. How do they survive?
The thinking seems to be they need to become the Switzerland of AI orchestration. Neutral ground.
Okay, Switzerland. Meaning
they leverage what they still have, that huge long tail library of niche connectors, the brand recognition for simplicity, but they can't just be tied to OpenAI.
So they become model agnostic.
Exactly. Reposition as the neutral control plane. Expand their platform so users can build workflows that use models from Google, Anthropic, Mistral, Cohere, whoever.
Well, playing the multi-cloud card for AI, addressing that enterprise fear of being locked into a single vendor like OpenAI.
Right. Mitigating that vendor lock-in risk becomes their value proposition, choice and neutrality.
But wait, isn't Zapier's whole brand about simplicity? If they suddenly make users juggle different AI models with different pricing, different capabilities, token limits, doesn't that undermine their core appeal?
That's the tightrope walk. They have to abstract that complexity away.
Oh.
They need to sell it as, look, you still get the simple drag and drop interface you love, but behind the scenes, we'll intelligently route your request to the best model for the job, maybe the cheapest, maybe the fastest, maybe the most powerful for that specific task.
So they manage the complexity for the user.
Yes. They sell convenience layered on top of choice and risk mitigation. We handle the AI messiness. You just build your workflow.
Okay. Interesting strategy for Zapier. What about N8N? Their path seems different.
Totally different. For N8N, it's all about doubling down on their core strengths, enterprise security and control.
Leaning into that structural advantage.
Yeah.
Data sovereignty, self-hosting, security.
Precisely. They position themselves as the secure, auditable, compliant chassis for running AI agents.
So maybe the agent's brain is powered by an open AI model like O1, or maybe something else.
But the body, the secure environment it runs in, the governance layer around it, that's N-A-N-N-N.
Okay, so they're not trying to compete head-on with AgentKit's ease of use for simple tasks.
Probably not. They're targeting enterprises where security and compliance are paramount.
But focusing so heavily on self-hosting and high-security niches, doesn't that limit their total market size compared to a cloud tool like AgentKit that aims for mass adoption? Are they essentially conceding the broad market?
I think they probably are accepting that. It's a strategic choice. They're not chasing every SMB anymore.
They're focusing on a smaller but maybe higher-value enterprise segment.
Exactly. The segment where data location, access controls, audit trails are non-negotiable. They're selling stability, control, and predictability, not necessarily bleeding edge speed for every user.
Which means they need to really enhance those enterprise features, right? Granular access control, better audit logs.
All of that. Plus, the big sell, using NAN de-risks your AI strategy. You're not beholden to one proprietary platform's sudden pricing changes or roadmap pivots.
They're selling peace of mind.
Yeah.
Your core business logic isn't held hostage.
Right. Control over your own destiny.
So, wrapping this all up then, our deep dive suggests the market shift is real and it's permanent.
Yeah, the ground has definitely shifted. We've moved from a market primarily based on just connecting things.
To one based on orchestrating intelligence. That's the new baseline.
And the core tension now seems to be between OpenAI's very powerful, vertically integrated intelligence stack.
And the incumbents like Zapier and NN fighting to own that horizontal layer. The multi-platform open choice control plane.
Which leaves us, and you listening, with that final provocative thought to chew on.
As you're thinking about building out your own critical systems.
What's the higher priority for you? Is it getting the absolute most seamless, cutting-edge intelligence, even if it means locking into a single vendor like OpenAI?
Or is it preserving essential data sovereignty, maintaining security, ensuring you have that freedom from vendor lock-in, even if it means a bit more complexity or using a slightly less integrated tool?
There's probably no single right answer. It depends on your context.
But the choice you make there could really determine how vulnerable or how resilient you are when the next big disruption hits this space.
Something to think about. Thank you for diving deep into the source material with us today.
Stop marketing to the general public. Talk to enterprise AI builders. Your platform solves the hardest challenge in tech, getting secure, compliant AI into production at scale. But are you reaching the right 1%? AI Unraveled is the single destination for senior enterprise leaders, CTOs, vice presidents of engineering, and MLOs heads who need production-ready solutions like yours. They tune in for deep, uncompromised technical insight. We have reserved a limited number of mid-roll ad spots for companies focused on high-stakes, governed AI infrastructure. This is not spray-and-pray advertising. It is a direct line to your most valuable buyers. Don't wait for your competition to claim the remaining airtime. Secure your high-impact package immediately. Secure your mid-roll spot by emailing us at info@dgamgaytech.com. Back to today's show.